Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 15th. City leaders faced with big bills Tuesday. Agenda shows there's cost to city government. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. During a recent debate about Hogan Park, a resident asked city leaders why the $10 million the city earmarked for improvements for the park couldn't be put to a vote of the entire city. Mayor Patrick Peyton answered by saying that at individual meetings, it is likely that the Midland City Council approved that much in spending. His point was to say that city representatives can't always ask the public every time there is a need to spend that much money. It happens too often. Tuesday was one of those days. The spending on items that wouldn't necessarily be classified as high profile showed the amount of money required to run a city. The Midland City Council agenda was filled with higher-dollar items in addition to the $17.5 million spent on a new police department radio system and the $5 million in Midland Development Corporation funds committed to help bring an entertainment and retail center to West Midland. Items on the agenda and ultimately passed included the awarding of a contract for city paving, alleys, streets, and sidewalks to Bowler Equipment Service of Midland at a total cost of $1.9 million. The awarding of a contract for the Jefferson Street, Atlanta Street, and Harrison Street Water Improvements Project to TEC Excavation of Midland at a cost of $810,000. The awarding of a contract for the Michigan Avenue Utility Project to Bowler Equipment Service of Midland in the amount of $1.7 million. The awarding of a contract for fiscal year 2023 mill and inlay projects to Jones Brothers Dirt and Paving Contractors of Odessa at a cost of $6.3 million. The approving of the purchase and upfitting of 26 Chevrolet Tahoes from Caldwell County Chevrolet at a total cost of $1.9 million. The $12.7 million spent on those five items also didn't account for another $1.5 million on items ranging from $101,000 to $322,000. That spending paid for concrete, a John Deere excavator, the emergency replacement of a fire hydrant and manhole cover, and replacement of fuel dispensers. The city also approved the advertisement of a request for qualifications for engineering and architectural services associated with a new health services design project and denied a bid for the Garfield Street paving and utility bond project that, according to city staff, was $25.0 million or three times the cost estimate for the project. Midland College Aviation Maintenance Program shows ideal enrollment. Vice President says officials are starting to work on recruiting students for second cohort. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The Midland College Board of Trustees shared an update on the reinstated Aviation Maintenance Technology Program at its meeting Tuesday. The program currently has 20 students enrolled, according to Vice President of Student Services Michael Dixon. Out of those 20 students, 12 of them have already submitted tuition payments. The program needed at least 12 students to be considered full. Quote, "If everyone else pays, we'll have a cohort of 20, which is the ideal number for teacher-to-student ratio for that program," Midland College President Steve Thomas said. Thomas said the advisory committee, focused on outreach for the program, worked hard to spread the word of the program's reinstatement in the community. The 20 students account for the first cohort of the program. Dixon stated that the college is starting to work on recruiting students for the second cohort. Quote, companies have pledged that they will hire our graduates, so we'll just have to wait and see, Thomas said, about what awaits Midland College aviation technology graduates. Small bites. Cowboy Prime honors West Texas. Michelin star chef opens new restaurant in Alley Village. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. There's an unspoken beauty hidden in the chaos of a restaurant staff wiping down tables and implementing finishing touches 10 minutes before their grand opening. Excitement and nervous energy fill the air while colleagues huddle together, helping one another lay collars and tighten aprons. Others pace in circles around the establishment, and the last thing any of them want is a reporter with a camera and pen walking in with a list full of questions and an observant eye. Yet, I prefer a first impression foundation laid in realism and authenticity, and there's nothing fabricated in the pillars of Cowboy Prime. Classic West Texas hospitality and good customer service, aspects I originally thought the upscale eatery might lack, flooded the Alley Village business. Staff members continued with their chores, sharing a smile with me here and there, and at 5 p.m. Tuesday, guests started to roll in. Opened by Chef Felipe Armenta, owner of Cork and Pig, Red Oak Kitchen, and Chef Graham Elliott, 2 Michelin star awardee, TV personality, Cowboy Prime's purpose stands in giving Midland an experience unlike any other. Quote, people are getting more and more educated on what real food is, Armenta explained. I've been out here 10 years now, so I know the market really well, and it just made sense to do something higher elevated, end quote. Cowboy Prime serves an array of handcrafted dishes conjured by Chef Elliott's magical touch, and to say higher elevated would not do the menu justice. I mean, we're talking about someone who has been named literally one of the best chefs in the world. And he's here in our city, just hanging out at Alley Village. With a Midland Meat Company partnership, the AV Butter Replacement not only sources food locally, but also showcases other businesses through their landscape, the Botanical Boutique, and artwork, Baker Shore Fine Art. Current hours of operation run 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday and Monday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. To see what the crew is up to, follow them on Instagram at Cowboy Prime TX. To make reservations, visit https://bit.ly/3HS6GZZ, 200 Spring Park Drive, Suite 210. Hot Bites. To start your elegant evening, choose from 3 appetizers, the fully loaded potato bisque with bacon bits, aged cheddar and green onions, wood-fired Spanish octopus with fingerlings potatoes, Kalamata olives and Romesco sauce, or the giant Italian prime meatball with toasted ciabatta, tomato ragu, and micro basil. For salads, a rustic-style Caesar salad, romaine hearts, herbed croutons, grated parmesan, a slow-roasted beet salad, baby arugula, chipped chèvre, pistachio vinaigrette, or an old-school iceberg wedge, marinated tomatoes, blue cheese, crispy bacon. In the raw and chilled section, guests can find jumbo shrimp cocktail, sushi du jour, East Coast oysters, beef tenderloin carpaccio, and duet of crudo. For meat and fish, choose from pan-roasted chicken, braised beef short rib stroganoff, dry-aged prime burger, sautéed Norwegian salmon fillet, and more. Prime selections include Australian Wagyu strip loin, whole Maine lobster, Colorado lamb rack, bone-in cowboy ribeye, seasonal wild game, and a 24-karat gold tomahawk chop. Side selections include whipped Yukon potatoes, truffle parmesan fries, garlicky sautéed broccolini, and more. Prices range from $10 to $300. Cold sips. A full bar allows the Cowboy Prime bartenders to be creative and excel in drink making. Craft cocktails include the Midland Sunset, a lychee martini with dried hibiscus that turns the once white drink pink throughout the drinking experience, the El Charro Margarita, True Buckaroo Old Fashioned, and more. As for beers, choose between domestic bottles and seasonal rotators, while wines include more than 44 different options, reaching up to $400 a bottle. Overall vibes. Cowboy Prime truly balances the big city feel of a premier steakhouse with the mom-and-pop feel of a small-town local joint. Although the decor and setting remain extravagant with their white tablecloths, leather seats, and marble finishes, the artwork found in the PBR room of Bull Riding Cowboys and hand-done Western paintings hung above each large booth pay tribute to the dust and dirt of West Texas, successfully romanticizing what it's like to be a Texan at heart. Dressed in formal vests, jeans, and bolo ties, each hostess, waiter, and waitress, and kitchen member encompass and exemplify the southwestern charm Midlanders know and love. Instead of falling victim to city-slicking ego, Cowboy Prime stays true to its roots and will surely become the blueprint for future restaurateurs and foodies to come.
This is MRT, Midland Reporter Telegram, for Thursday, December the 15th, 2022. Ready, Set, Match helps Bush Tennis Center prepare for tomorrow. Today's words make tomorrow's memories, and in Midland, those words often are, "There is nothing to do in Midland, and I can't wait to leave this town." Those words have never made for Midland's better tomorrows. And we all know that a better tomorrow is made by today's actions. Times have changed, and Midland has changed for the better. And Midland is ready for more, to do more, and to be more. Research shows communities that offer their residents a broad variety of recreational opportunities are more vibrant and experience significant growth. One such recreational opportunity for Midland and the Permian Basin is the Bush Tennis Center. Ready, the Bush Tennis Center, BTC, is a ready-made opportunity for Midland, both for today and tomorrow. Celebrating its 10th year, BTC's mission is to provide everyone the opportunity to experience the game of tennis regardless of any physical, financial, or geographical barriers. Named in honor of President George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, the BTC opened in 2012 and has 19 fully lighted outdoor courts and recently added 8 lighted pickle hall courts. During the preceding 10 years, the BTC's membership has increased from 80 members to more than 500. Programs and events have been added to appeal to the ever-widening variety of Midlanders and other guests. One of the BTC's primary programs is the Bush Ace Outreach Program, ACE, Advise, Counsel, Encourage. This in-school program connects elementary-age children with positive role models through the sport of tennis. ACE has provided free in-school programs to more than 40,000 elementary-age children throughout the Permian Basin. BTC's goal for 2022-23 is to serve the Permian's 60,000 elementary-age children. In addition to learning the sport of tennis, ACE promotes the core values of sportsmanship, integrity, self-confidence, and hard work. Other benefits include encouraging healthy lifestyles, keeping kids in school, bringing families together, building character, giving youth direction, and introducing many to a potential lifelong sport. SET. We are asking you to support the BTC Capital Campaign. The Bush Tennis Center is hosting a three-phase capital campaign, with the first phase being to construct and equip a 12,000-square-foot pro shop at the cost of a $3.5 million, of which we have thus far raised 44% of our goal. This expanded facility will include showers, lockers for men and women, a retail store, food concession, conference room, and office space for professional staff. This envisioned pro shop will provide the BTC with the space and amenities required to host and manage major tennis events, including those sponsored by the USTA and the ATP, as well as pro exhibitions, high school tournaments, and allow the BTC to attract high-ranked players from five-state area, many of whom are striving toward the goal of earning a tennis scholarship to attend a college or university. The BTC's ability to host larger events will bring in visitors who will stay in local hotels, motels, eat in restaurants, shop in local stores, and overall create a positive economic impact for Midland that will help to sustain and grow the local economy, creating additional job opportunities and contribute to enhancing Midlanders' day-to-day quality of life. Match. We ask for your support. For additional information or questions, please contact Steve Davidson by email at rsdjsd56@yahoo.com or Tim Stallard, Executive Director, by email at tim@bushtenniscenter.org. Bush Tennis Center is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization. Checks should be made payable to Bush Tennis Center Capital Campaign and mailed to 5700 Briarwood, Midland, Texas, 79707. To our investors, stakeholders, friends, and residents of Midland and the Permian, the Bush Tennis Center says, ready, set, match. Midland's future and better tomorrow is ours to guide, grow, and give. Please consider giving to the BTC's Capital Campaign today. This is Town Plans for a Holiday Trash. Keep Midland Beautiful reminded Midlanders this week that the holiday season will bring its share of trash. Annually, Americans produce 25% more trash between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. Doreen Womack with Keep Midland Beautiful wrote in an email, Womack recommended using dumpsters for trash consisting of food scraps and anything biodegradable. That means items that will decay and smell bad, Womack said. So produce, meat and bones, dairy, those types of items should be thrown like usual. But please hang on to wrapping paper and bows from Christmas presents. They can wait till there is more room in trash containers. Womack also stated that boxes from Christmas presents and number one and two plastics can be recycled, reduced, or reused. Please be certain to tie your trash bag so no trash escapes, Womack wrote. And if your dumpster gets full, please hold all trash till it's empty. Overstuffing dumpsters creates litter. Recycling notes. Christmas tree drop-off areas, Hogan Park, behind the Armory on La Mesa Road, and Citizens Collection Station by Air Park. Citizens Collection Station hours 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. For more information about trash collection, call City of Midland Solid Waste at 685-7278. For more information about holiday recycling, reducing, and reusing, go to keepmidlandbeautiful.org. Cowboy Prime honors West Texas. Michelin star chef opens new restaurant in Ally Village. There's an unspoken beauty hidden in the chaos of a restaurant staff wiping down tables and implementing finishing touches 10 minutes before their grand opening. Excitement and nervous energy fill the air while colleagues huddle together, helping one another lay collars and tighten aprons. Others pace in circles around the establishment, and the last thing any of them want is a reporter with a camera and pen walking in with a list of questions and an observant eye. Yet I prefer a first impression foundation laid in realism and authenticity, and there's nothing fabricated in the pillars of Cowboy Prime. Classic West Texas hospitality and good customer service. Aspects I originally thought the upscale eatery might lack flooded the Ally Village business. Staff members continued with their chores, sharing a smile with me here and there. And at 5 p.m. Tuesday, guests started to roll in. Opened by Chef Felipe Armenta, owner of Cork and Pig, Red Oak Kitchen, and Chef Graham Elliott, two Michelin star awardee TV personality, Cowboy Prime's purpose stands in giving Midland an experience unlike any other. People are getting more and more educated on what real food is, Armenta explained. I've been out here 10 years now, so I know the market really well, and it just made sense to do something higher elevated. Cowboy Prime serves an array of handcrafted dishes conjured by Chef Elliott's magical touch, and to say higher elevated would not do the menu justice. I mean, we're talking about someone who has been named literally one of the best chefs in the world. Y'all, and he's here in our city, just hanging out at Ally Village. With the Midland Meat Company partnership and the AV Butter replacement, not only sources food locally, but also showcases other businesses through their landscape. The Botanical Boutique and Artwork Baker Shore Fine Art. Current hours are operation, run 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday and Monday, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday. To see what the crew is up to, follow them on Instagram at Cowboy Prime Texas, Cowboy Prime TX. To make reservations, visit https://bit.ly/3hs6gzz. Hot Bites. To start your elegant evening, choose from three appetizers, the fully loaded potato bisque with bacon bits, aged cheddar and green onions, wood-fired Spanish octopus with fingerling potatoes, Kalamata olives, and Romesco sauce, or giant Italian pried meatball with toasted ciabatta, tomato ragu, and micro basil. For salads, a rustic style Caesar salad, romaine hearts, herbed croutons, grated parmesan, a slow-roasted beet salad, baby arugula, whipped chèvre and pistachio vinaigrette. Or an old-school iceberg wedge, marinated tomatoes, blue cheese, and crispy bacon. In the raw and chilled section, guests can find jumbo shrimp cocktail, sushi du jour, East Coast oysters, beef tenderloin, carpaccio, and duet of crudo. For meat and fish, choose from pan-roasted chicken, braised beef short rib, stroganoff, dry-aged prime burger, sautéed Norwegian salmon filet, and more. Prime selections include Australian Wagyu strip loin, whole Maine lobster, Colorado lamb rack, bone-in cowboy ribeye, seasonal wild game, and 24-karat gold tomahawk chop. Side selections include whipped Yukon potatoes, truffle Parmesan fries, garlicky sautéed broccolini, and more. Prices range from $10 to $300. Cold sips. A full bar allows the Cowboy Prime bartenders to be creative and excel in drink making. Craft cocktails include the Midland Sunset, a lychee martini with dried hibiscus that turns the once white drink pink throughout the drinking experience. The El Charo Margarita, True Buckaroo, Old Fashioned, and more. As for beers, choose between domestic bottles and seasonal rotators, while wines include more than 44 different options, reaching up to $400 a bottle. Overall vibes. Cowboy Prime truly balances the big city feel of a premier steakhouse with the mom-and-pop feel of a small-town local joint. Although the decor and setting remain extravagant, with white tablecloths, leather seats, and marble finishes, the artwork found in the PBR room of bull riding cowboys and hand-done Western paintings hung above each large booth pay tribute to the dust and dirt of West Texas, successfully romanticizing what it's like to be a Texan at heart. Dressed in formal vests, jeans, and bolo ties, each hostess, waiter and waitress, and kitchen member encompass and exemplify the southwestern charm Midlanders know and love. Instead of falling victim to city-slicking ego, Cowboy Prime stays true to its roots and will surely become the blueprint for future restaurateurs and foodies to come. These are three things to do in Midland. Finish year with MCT. An important staple in Midland arts community, the Midland Community Theater, closes the 2022 season this weekend with the last performances of the beloved classic A Christmas Carol. Even though the entertainment value of the comedic drama falls heavily to the nostalgic carry through the writing of A Christmas Carol, praise should also be given to the MCT East. With a wide age range, young beginners to seasoned veterans, the extensive homegrown crew vindicates the high standard held at the local stage. Showings run at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday in Davis Theater. 1. Tickets can be bought at www.mctmidland.org, 2000 West Wadley Avenue. Sport ugliest sweater for cash prize. Continuing to bring biggest city aspects to West Texas. Why not? Midland kicks up the beat with an ugly sweater party. Both male and female winners will receive a $300 cash prize, so bring your Christmas A-game. Decked in full holiday decor, the lounge will also be hosting a premier DJ, festive drinks, bites, and other entertaining events and games throughout the night. Lastly, bottle service and VIP seating will be available. To book a booth or table, visit www.knotvip.com. The roundup begins at 6 p.m. and runs until 2 a.m. Friday. 4416 Briarwood Avenue, Suite 108. Stock up on fresh produce, from vegetables and fruit to bread and other baked goods. Vendors at the downtown farmers market, held at the museum at the Southwest, set up one more time before breaking for the holidays. Many Midland family farms sell fresh eggs, tomatoes, herbs, and spices, onions, squash, zucchini, spinach, kale, and more. Other family-owned companies sell essential oils, hand-stitched tea towels, beeswax, candles, and more, perfect for holiday gifting. Don't worry about grabbing a bite to eat before walking through the large spread. Online baking businesses like Hash Browns and High Hopes stake up tents and cook made-to-order bagel sandwiches. Other food vendors cater to popcorn lovers, parfait fans, and more. Shopping begins at 9 a.m. and ends at noon, rain or shine. Pets on leashes are welcome. 1705 West Missouri Avenue.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 15th, 2022. Three things to do in Midland. Finish year with MCT. An important staple in the Midland arts community, the Midland Community Theater, closes the 2022 season this weekend with the last performances of the beloved classic, A Christmas Carol. Even though the entertainment value of the comedic drama falls heavily to the nostalgia carried through the writing of A Christmas Carol, praise should also be given to the MCT cast. With a wide range of young beginners to seasoned veterans, the extensive homegrown crew vindicates the high standard held at the local stage. Showings run at 7:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 2:30 p.m. Sunday in Davis Theater 1. Tickets can be purchased at www.mctmidland.org. 2000 West Wadley. Sport ugliest sweater for cash prize. Continuing to bring big city aspects to West Texas, why not Midland kicks up the heat with an ugly sweater party. Both male and female winners will receive a $300 cash prize, so bring your Christmas A-game. Decked in full holiday decor, the lounge will also be hosting a premier DJ, festive drinks, bites, and other entertaining events and games throughout the night. Lastly, bottle service and VIP seating stand available. To book a booth or table, visit www.whynotvip.com. The roundup begins at 6 p.m. and runs until 2 a.m. Friday at 4416 Briarwood, Suite 108. Stock up on fresh produce. From vegetables and fruit to bread and other baked goods, vendors at the downtown farmers market, held at the Museum of the Southwest, set up one more time before breaking for the holidays. Many Midland family farms sell fresh eggs, tomatoes, herbs and spices, onions, squash, zucchini, spinach, kale, and more. Other family-owned companies sell essential oils, hand-stitched tea towels, beeswax candles, and more, perfect for holiday gifting. Don't worry about grabbing a bite to eat before walking through the large spread. Online baking businesses like Hash Browns and High Hopes stake up tents and cook made-to-order bagel sandwiches. Other food vendors cater to popcorn lovers, parfait fans, and more. Shopping begins at 9 a.m. and ends at noon, rain or shine. Pets on leashes, welcome. 1705 West Missouri. Calendar. Living Nativity at First Baptist Church through Thursday. Midland Community Band's Christmas Concert, 2 p.m. Saturday at the Wagner Brown Auditorium in the Allison Fine Arts Building on the Midland College campus. Midland Teachers Winter Wishes Spectacular, 3 to 7 p.m. December 19th and 20th at Bush Center Ballroom. All Midland teachers invited to attend for free teaching supplies. Lone Star Brass Holiday Concert, December 20th at the Ray Great House Recital Hall in the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center. USPS Deadlines. The following are 2022 holiday shipping dates for the contiguous U.S. Recommended send-by dates for expected delivery before December 25th. Retail Ground Service, Saturday. First Class Mail Service, Saturday. Priority Mail Service, December 19th. And Priority Mail Express Service, December 23rd. Community Roundup. Santa Visits. The Santa Photo Experience, presented by Simon, will be open through Christmas Eve at Midland Park Mall. Hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. Sundays. Winter Wishes. The Midland Education Foundation is teaming with local businesses, churches, and private foundations to offer a special holiday event for educators. The Teacher Winter Wishes Spectacular will provide free classroom supplies for teachers, as well as other activities, including Christmas treats, games, door prizes, gift cards, and more. All teachers from Midland are welcome, including those from MISD, charter, and private schools. The event is scheduled for 3 to 7 p.m. December 19th and 20th at the Bush Convention Center Ballroom, 105 North Main. What's Up with Midland? At the Blue Door, a Christmas crawl, Saturday. At the Buffalo Nickel, a Christmas crawl, Saturday. At the Horseshoe Arena, Cotton Flat Bridge demolition, Friday through Monday. At Christmas at the Horseshoe, Saturday. At the Midland Community Band Concert, Saturday at Midland College campus. At Midland Community Theater, A Christmas Carol, Friday through Sunday. At the Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, Saturday. At the Tailgate, Christmas Crawl, Saturday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Beer Release, Saturday. Spaghetti Night, December 23rd. Beer Release, December 31st. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, The Illusionist's Magic of the Holidays, December 19th. Lone Star Brass, December 20th. Peppa Pig Live, Peppa Pig's Adventure, December 27th. Nutcracker Magical Christmas Ballet, December 30th. At Why Not, Ugly Sweater Party, Friday. Naughty or Nice, December 23rd.
Hello, this is Michael, reading the Odessa American, published Thursday, December 15th, 2022. Front page. Council votes to raise first responder pay, by Kim Smith. The Odessa City Council voted 5-2 Tuesday night to immediately provide raises to Odessa's emergency dispatchers and fire and ambulance personnel using American Rescue Plan Act money. The council approved the raises based on numbers put together by District 1 City Council member Mark Mata, who acknowledged he didn't run them past Assistant City Manager of Administrative Services Cindy Muncy, who is a certified public accountant and who handles the city budget. Mata told his colleagues he believes ARPA funding will cover the raises for 2 years and the total cost will be $2.9 million a year. Mata told his colleagues he used numbers from Evergreen Solutions' citywide compensation study, and I just took the time to go in there and do the homework. Evergreen Solutions was scheduled to deliver their final report last week during the council work session that was canceled due to the lack of a quorum. As a result of the vote, firefighters will receive 8 to 20% raises depending on their position within the department, Mata said. Dispatchers and police personnel will now be paid commensurate with the top 66% of their colleagues in peer cities, but Mata did not break down the percentages per position. Odessa Fire Rescue has lost more than 70 employees over the last 2 years, but at-large city council member Denise Swanner said the number is more than 180 over the last 4 years. OFR has been bleeding firefighters and it needs to stop, Swanner said. She said she and others asked OFR Chief John Alvarez and Michael Marrero how they could help address the situation back in June, only to learn an OFR compensation had already been done in 2019, which made me and Councilman Mata look like a fool, Swanner said. After the meeting, council member Steve Thompson said Marrero told all of the council members about the 2019 OFR compensation study in February of this year. A December 2019 Odessa American story detailed that the city council had met with retiring OFR chief John Alvarez during a work session about that salary survey. Alvarez announced he is retiring after 30 years with the city last week, and Marrero was fired by a 5-2 vote earlier Tuesday night. Swanner continued, as it progressed, city staff and the association came to us. They say we micromanage. I didn't micromanage at all. I'm a leader, and when somebody comes to me and asked me to help them with the situation, that's what you guys voted me to do. New District 5 council member Chris Haney said the raises needed to be approved immediately. Enough's enough, he said. District 2 council member Steve Thompson expressed his displeasure with the rest of the council was just walking away from a study the council spent $111,500 on without addressing the needs of other city employees. Thompson also reiterated his past concerns the council has no idea how it will continue paying for the raises going forward and asked if Mata was okay raising property taxes. Mata's idea didn't address the issue of compression, the phenomenon that results in newer employees getting paid more than long-term employees, Thompson said. The council voted in July to hire Evergreen Solutions because the study was 3 years old and did not include other city employees, he said. During the meeting, Mata said he used Evergreen Solutions' study in coming up with his plan. Both he and Swanner said the council has time to figure out how to pay for the raises in the future. You may not have to raise property taxes, but that's a great thing to say whenever you want to scare people, Mata said. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm asking a simple question, Thompson said. It'll be paid. It'll be paid, Mata responded. I'm done, Thompson said. Muncy declined to answer questions following the meeting. In other action, the council voted 6-1 to declare Odessa a sanctuary city for the unborn. It was a second and final vote on the ordinance. Thompson again voted against the measure both times. District 3 council member Gilbert Vasquez abstained from the vote last time, but voted in favor Tuesday. Thompson has said he believes the ordinance is redundant because Governor Greg Abbott has already declared the state a sanctuary state. Thompson has also said he doesn't want to impose his religious views on others. The ordinance makes it illegal for anyone to aid or abet a woman in obtaining an abortion by driving them to an abortion provider, giving instructions on how to self-administer an abortion, giving them money to pay for the procedure, or coercing them into getting an abortion. It also makes it illegal for any doctors to perform the procedure. In either case, the offenders won't risk criminal charges. Instead, they can be sued civilly. The vast majority of citizens who spoke on the measure were in favor, with sharing personal stories of loss, arguing the unborn are not just a cluster of cells, but babies. They also argued the ordinance is not redundant because efforts are underway at the federal level to codify Roe v. Wade. Two women spoke against the ordinance. One noted that if the council were really pro-life, they'd take measures to address the death penalty, high maternal mortality rates, and high suicide rates against the LGBTQ population. Hannah Horick, Communication and Development Coordinator at the Crisis Center of West Texas, said it is a shame the ordinance doesn't provide an exception for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault who did not choose to become pregnant. She also said the ordinance violates free speech. This ordinance means that you control my speech. You control how I spend my private funds, how I spend my time, and for whom I might work with, whom I associate. And that sounds like a violation of the First Amendment to me. And while we may have a caveat, we may have a line in the ordinance that says there are no violations of the First Amendment under this ordinance that scares people. It scares people away from getting health care. It scares people away from speaking with their physicians, Horick said. As a private citizen, she's helped countless people access all kinds of health care, Horick said. Nothing about this ordinance, whether it has all of you all's votes, six of your votes for it, and your signature on it, Mr. Mayor, it will never stop me. I will keep advocating for health care. I will keep donating to these organizations, and there is nothing a piece of paper can do to stop me, Horick said. Some vow recall effort following firings, by Kim Smith. One day after firing two key City of Odessa employees, Mayor Javier Hoven reassured Odessans he and the city council are committed to improving every aspect of the city, but discussions about recalling him and other members of the council are already underway. The Odessa City Council voted 5-2 Tuesday night to fire City Manager Michael Marrero and City Attorney Natasha Brooks without explanation. Billing and Collections Head Agapito Gapi Bernal and Senior Assistant City Attorney Dan Jones have been named Interim Manager and Attorney, respectively. The following language appeared on Tuesday's agenda just prior to the possible terminations. Any member of the public may address the City Council regarding any of its agenda items before or during the consideration of the item. However, the public was not allowed to speak on the matters until after the City Council went into executive session and after they had voted. It is for that reason, longtime business leader, civil rights activist, and minister Gene Collins said he spent most of his Wednesday on the phone talking with upset Odessans about the possibility of launching a recall effort for Hoven, District 1 Council Member Mark Mata, and At-Large Council Member Denise Swanner. They're still kicking around the idea of targeting a fourth council member, Collins says, without naming that individual. Following Tuesday night's meeting, Hoven held a short press conference. The mayor said the citizens of Odessa voted for change in December 2020 and last month. The majority of this council is committed to moving this community forward. This council will continue to move this community forward as a whole. After extensive review, it was determined that adjustments needed to be made on the day-to-day leadership, Hoven said. Hoven said he and the other council members wished Marrero well, but he begged off on answering any questions Tuesday night and again Wednesday morning, stating he needed to get home to his ailing 92-year-old father. On Wednesday afternoon, Hoven sent out a news release reiterating the council's commitment to moving forward. He thanked both Marrero and Brooks for their service and wished them well. Collins is a lifelong Odessan who has dealt with various city councils over the years in various capacities, including as an Odessa Development Corporation board member. He said he's never before seen what he saw Tuesday night. To blatantly end somebody's career like they're doing and not even sharing the reason with the public, I was speechless last night because I wanted to know, first of all, what the main problem was. In the past, Collins said there has always been an open dialogue at city council meetings. This type of event, in my opinion, has not happened before. We've always been open. You may disagree, but at least we give people an opportunity to express their opinions, or we educate them to the point where they know why the action has been taken, Collins said. There was that type of transparency before, and now there's not. Like I said, I was kind of blown away with what happened. Swanner, Mata, and Hovind joined the council after a runoff election that was called when they each failed to get at least 50% of the vote in November 2020. There was no election last month because Chris Haney, Gilbert Vasquez, and Greg Connell ran unopposed. Rumors about Marrero's future have been swirling since the three new council members replaced Detra White, Mary Willis, and Tom Sprawls, who routinely voted against Hovind, Mata, and Swanner, along with Steve Thompson. However, Swanner did not respond to numerous emails, texts, and phone calls leading up to Tuesday night's meeting. Mata and Hovind simply said the matter would be discussed at the meeting. Thompson, who opposed the firings, along with Vasquez, was the only council member to return phone calls Wednesday. He said he still hasn't heard why the majority of his colleagues wanted to fire the pair. I talked to the mayor to get him to not have the circus last night, Thompson said. Hovind wanted Marrero and Brooks' resignation letters on his desk by 3 p.m. Tuesday, along with promises not to sue the city, Thompson said. However, had they agreed, they would have lost their severance package, he said. According to their contracts, which were obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act, both were entitled to 1 year's salary, or $238,000 for Marrero and $184,500 for Brooks. Thompson said he is not surprised by Collins' threats of a possible recall attempt, nor will he be shocked if attorney Gavin Norris follows through on his Tuesday night threat to file a federal suit. He said he was caught off guard when Hovind skipped the citizens' comments portion of the agenda prior to the vote. That's not the way we normally do it, Thompson said. Norris repeatedly interrupted Hovind Tuesday night, demanding to know if citizens could speak. Are you going to deny us the right to speak, Mr. Mayor? Are you going to deny us the right, Mr. Mayor? Javier Hovind, are you going to deny us the right to speak when we've turned in cards to speak on this issue? Norris yelled as Hovind made the motion to name the interim manager. We're in the process, sir. Let's get through the process, Hovind told him repeatedly. When all the votes were cast and Norris was given an opportunity to speak, he said he'd be filing a federal lawsuit alleging violations of the 1st, 5th, and 14th Amendments. He told the mayor he had hoped he was ready and then addressed Mata. I want to address this to you because when you sat down with us and asked for the vote of the black community to either support you or not support you, the one thing we had in our meeting with you was we didn't want you to be a puppet of Javier Hovind, Norris said. You told us that you make your own decisions. There's a legal term in the legal profession, and it's called res ipsa loquitur, and it means the thing speaks for itself. Mr. Mata, I'll let you know tonight, the thing speaks for itself. Norris did not return messages left Wednesday. Thanks to Hovind, the city is going to end up wasting taxpayers' money on lawsuits that didn't need to happen, Thompson said. Appeals Court Hears OA City Lawsuit by Kim Smith. The three justices from the 11th Texas Court of Appeals in Eastland spent an hour Wednesday hearing arguments from attorneys representing the Odessa American and the City of Odessa in a three-year-old lawsuit. The OA's parent company, AIM Media, filed a lawsuit against the city, alleging the city was violating the Texas Public Information Act by not releasing basic public information contained in public crime records within 10 days, as required by law. There are 10 things considered basic information, including a description of the crime committed, the time and location of the crime, the names of the officers involved, and the identities of those involved. The OA provided several examples of reports that were released months after the events and filled with redactions. Earlier this year, a judge dismissed the lawsuit, declaring the issue moot because the city had ultimately provided the newspaper with the police records it had requested. AIM Media wants the 11th Court of Appeals to find the city did violate the TPIA and to issue an order prohibiting them from doing so in the future. On Tuesday, Jeff Nobles, an AIM Media attorney, told the court, until the court says they have a deadline, they're never going to follow a deadline. That's what we're here for. If the city delays releasing basic information, it's tantamount to mocking the legislature, Nobles said. Keith Stretcher, a Midland attorney representing the city of Odessa, said if the OA wants information released immediately, it needs to contact lawmakers to change the law and include the word immediately. The city's policy is to have the city attorney's office review all police reports prior to their release, and because of their other duties, they sometimes cannot release information as soon as it's requested, Stretcher said. Regardless, the case should have already been resolved, Stretcher said. Chief Justice John Bailey and Justices Stacy Trotter and Bruce Williams took the issue under advisement. Showtime, A Christmas Carol hits the boards. First United Methodist Church and University of Texas Permian Basin will be staging A Christmas Carol at 8 p.m. Thursday, today, and Friday, and 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday at FUMC, 415 North Lee Avenue. Admission is free and tickets are not required, but donations for Toys for Tots, the West Texas Food Bank, and the Children's Clothes Closet at First United Methodist are suggested. Toys for Tots, a program run by the U.S. Marine Corps Reserve, takes new unopened toys and distributes them. The food bank will take non-perishable food like canned goods, and the church has outreach ministries where people can donate new or lightly used clothing. We help people that need clothes, especially children, First UMC music minister and UTPB vocal professor David Corman said. Corman said he has not done this production before, which is the musical version by Alan Menken. The cast is 35 members strong and includes singers from UTPB and First United Methodist. The age range is 7 to 89. It's a pretty big project between First Methodist and UTPB, Corman said. In the works since September, it pretty much follows the classic Charles Dickens tale. The different ghosts are even more expanded upon, and there's expansive choreography in this piece. We have 3 to 4 very large, complicated dance numbers, Corman said. Maya Johnson is the choreographer, and the technical director is Billy Baker. Corman said it is the creative arts assistant at FUMC.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.